461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news.
You're listening to The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. Well, we look forward to your discussion and your questions, comments in relationship to the issue we're talking about today. Should we allow prayer? Be more specific. Should we allow prayer in the Duval County School Board meetings? That's a debate today. That's a battle today. We're going to take a position on it. We're going to take a biblical stand on it. We're going to take as fact what the Word of God says, that we ought to obey God rather than man. I believe that is the efficient position today. When we look at those that prayed in the Bible, you can go from cover to cover, from Old Testament to the New Testament, and you find over and over and over again, God's people would pray. And I believe it's time that we say we're going to take a stand for God and not for the atheist, the heathen world that says that we can't pray. The Duval County School Board's been having a prayer, opening the meeting and a prayer, and all of a sudden it is a earth-shaking problem with the atheist. Listen, I grew up in the era that we had horse shows in the country. The donkeys didn't get upset because we had a horse show. And I think that ought to be the same measure today when deciding if we're going to have prayer in the school board meetings. Also, we need prayer back in the classrooms. Let's face it, we're in a position that we have a declension in the morals, ethics, and values in our nation. And I think we can trace it back to kicking God out of the classroom, banning God in any public meeting, and saying that prayer cannot be had because we're authorizing and underwriting and saying that we're going to have form a religion that the state is approving. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about that today. And if it sounds like I'm passionate about it, it's because I am. If it sounds that it's something that is important, it's because it is. And so we're going to invite you to call in after the monologue. Call in, give your thoughts, your instructions, your inquiry. And if you're against prayer in the classroom or against prayer at the school board meetings, I want to hear from you. Why? On what basis, what authority do you say, oh no, yes, you know, separation of church and state. After all, if there's a prayer uttered by someone in a governmental meeting, all of a sudden we are endorsing a religion. But ladies and gentlemen, and we might offend somebody that's an atheist or heathen, but yet, when it comes to the LGBTQ sodomite agenda in our public schools and the pushing for the DEI in our public schools, when it comes to pushing the transgenderism in our public schools, when it comes to pushing and promoting a murder by way of abortion in our public schools, I've not heard anybody across the nation from a school board that was complaining that it might offend a Christian. You understand what I'm saying? If we're going to play that rule, play that game, let's do it on both sides of the aisle. That's where we're going today. As we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it God's truth book. John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus says, if you continue in my Word, you shall be my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the Word of God. Thy Word is truth. Ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of folks today that want to deny, reject, and some way remove truth. In fact, it was the secularist George Orwell made a profound statement in his dystopian novel of yesteryear. Orwell said, and I quote, the further society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it. And ladies and gentlemen, truth matters. And we've got to stand on the truth book. We've got to defend the truth. And that's what I am encouraging you to do each and every day. There's the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that said America's decline is linked to the death of truth. And I believe that is truthful, a factual statement today. Yet, according to a recent survey, 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, contend that there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, the millennials today, according to this survey, say that each person determines his or her own version of truth. I'm looking at a headline that's frightening. Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth. Some of the truths that we need to recognize, the truth is we've got two genders, male and female, not 157 genders. Truth is, God created man. Truth is, God created us to worship Him and to honor Him. Truth is that we communicate with God through prayer. And the Scripture is very, very clear as to what we ought to do in the relationship to prayer. For example, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. What does that mean? Pray without ceasing. We've got to be careful where we pray. Got to be careful when we pray. We've got to be careful who's around us when we pray. It's not what it says. In fact, you can go throughout Scripture, and I'm reminded of Nehemiah. When in preparation for the rebuilding of the wall, he went to God and prayed and asked God to forgive sins personally and communitively, those within the nation. Then when he was facing the king and had a long face, the king said, what's wrong? Why are you so frightened or saddened? And according to Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4, Nehemiah simply made a statement. Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. In that quick, short prayer, and the Bible doesn't record what he prayed, but that makes a profound statement. Nehemiah said, and I prayed to God. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the discussion that we're going to have today. And I believe we need to recognize the need to take that stand as perhaps never before as Christians. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus made this statement. Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. That's the challenge that I place before you each and every day. Seek the truth. Listen to it. Learn it. Love it. Tell it. Live it. And defend it even to death. That is the mantra from this microphone each and every day, hoping that it will find lodging place in the fertile soil of seeking hearts as to what we ought to do as Christians. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company seeking individuals wanting to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, on the campus of Tools for Time, there's a benchmark, an identifier. There's a 165-foot flagpole on the campus of Tools for Time. Atop that flagpole flies the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. Toolsfortime.com. toolsforatime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, in just a moment, we'll open our telephone lines. And that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We'll invite you to call in, join in the dialogue and discussion. Ladies and gentlemen, over the our nation is the, how would you say, the fast track? We're on a fast track to dethrone God. Perhaps you've noticed that. Some of you may have not noticed it. Perhaps we have forgotten that the very main tenets of Marxism, the main tenets of Marxism today, there's 10 points to Marxism. I have reviewed it down through the years. 10 points. I boiled it down to three very simple points within Marxism. Number one, destroy the nuclear family. We're on the fast track for that today. Destroy the nuclear family. Secondly, divide the nation ethnically. Divide the nation ethnically. And thirdly, to dethrone God. And once these things have been accomplished, ladies and gentlemen, our nation is then fully controlled by the Marxist, Socialist, Communist, Democratic Party and those that are associated with the destruction of our Bill of Rights. I believe we need to recognize the track that we're on. We need to understand what the goal is, the end game, and how we should respond as Christians. What ought we to do? Jerry Nadler, 2 or 3 years ago, when H.R. 5 was trying to be promoted, promulgated, and pushed in the House of Representatives. One of the legislators, one of the representatives, a Christian, was standing at the podium and reading from the scripture how H.R. 5 ought not to be inculcated into anything that would be called law. And Jerry Nadler screamed at him that the Bible has no place in the halls of Congress. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that that is a good example of what we see across the nation and these atheist, Marxist, communist groups that are trying to nibble away at our constitutional rights that we have, rights and privileges that's authoritatively given to us by Holy God, found in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And yet somehow, some way, there's the mindset that each time there's a push, we need to just back up, give up, and hold our hands up and say we can do nothing about it. Listen, since 1960s, when prayer and Bible were taken out of the public school classroom, and the atheist and the Marxist discovered that America's constitutional liberties are to be subservient to the whims and the wishes that the courts might decide. Now listen very carefully. We've been witnessing an escalation of the courts in America making a decision, making decisions that control the Oval Office, that is the President's office. We witnessed, as you've heard me say many times, small judges in small courtrooms in small counties with a black robe on that's making decisions that's supposed to lock the hands and tie the feet of our President. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the reason they're called circuit courts. In their circuit, they can make a ruling. But their ruling for their circuit has no authority on a broader basis across America for other circuits, for other districts, for other states, for other courts. You can't do that. And yet John Roberts, as you've heard me harp on the fact, John Roberts, the Supreme Court Chief Justice, is silent, doing nothing to control his judges across the nation. But ladies and gentlemen, one of the things I want us to recognize today is that there is a push against the Duval County School Board to cause them to cease and desist having prayer, invocation, at the opening of a school board meeting. So my question to you, should we allow prayer? Love to hear from you, 904-831-0917. Our telephone lines are open. Join the dialogue and discussion today. Should we have prayer, opening prayer, if you want to modified a little more, Christian prayer at the beginning of a school board meeting? Is it something that should be frowned upon? Is it something we should embrace? Is it something that we should reject? I'm looking at an article. Duval County School Board should stop inviting prayers, a legal group warns. Let me read you three brief paragraphs from this two-page article. two national church-state advocacy groups are warning the Duval County School Board to end its practice of opening school board meetings with prayer. The groups received separate citizens' complaints, which prompted them to send letters to the school board. Both groups, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which sent the board its letter on Friday, the American United for Separation of Church and State, which sent similar letters back in November, say that to start school-sponsored events, this board meeting, like board meetings with prayer, is a violation of the First Amendment's Establishment Clause. Now, ladies and gentlemen, hold that thought, because later in this broadcast, we're going to talk about what's called the Establishment Clause, what it is and what it isn't. We're going to talk about what authority does that Establishment Clause have and the way it's interpreted today. This article reads further. That's the doctrine preventing the government from establishing a religion and is the basis for the separation of church and state. Number one, ladies and gentlemen, no such thing as water separation of church and state in our Constitution. It does not exist. I think it's time we have enough cases to be thrown into the hopper, if you will, that will go to the U.S. Supreme Court to finally make a determination where in the Constitution do we find the separation of church and state, the wall of separation of church and state. If you know where it's found, call me and tell me, because I can't find it. It doesn't exist in my Constitution. And ladies and gentlemen, this article further says, since December 24th, when Charlotte Joyce became board chair, the school board has begun meeting, most meetings, with overtly evangelical Christian prayers. In this letter, the Madison, Wisconsin-based Freedom From Religion Foundation called the board's needless insertion of invocations a violation of the board's own policy and said the practice is, listen, the practice is intimidating, divisive, and coercive. I want to understand, somebody tell me how a Christian prayer is to be considered coercive. Oh, yes, I know what they're referring to. The conviction of the Holy Spirit of God's working on a radical leftist heart is where there is the sense of coerciveness. It's the work of the Holy Spirit of God that's doing the work, as human beings that know Christ as Savior are willing to verbalize and voice what God's Word says, praying for others, praying for the lost, praying for the school board leaders to make right choices and wisdom. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. So should we cast that out and say we're not going to do that anymore because some loose likes lost liberal has complained to an atheist organization? And by the way, I'm not calling any names, but one of the letters that was sent by an individual that is part of the Universalist Church. By the way, the Universalist Church is not a Christian organization, is not a Christian church at all. The furthest thing from it. And because he felt a little wimpy because he was not invited to pray, then therefore we're going to fight and make sure that nobody else can pray. That's the mindset. I believe James is on the line. James, go over the question or comment, please.
Yep. Hey, Dr. Youngblood, terrific kickoff to the show. Regarding prayer in schools, who's the victor if we don't pray in schools? Who's the victor if we allow this conditional removing God, or we don't want to hurt somebody's feelings over one nation under God? Why would we apologize for the Lord? And I got something out of your opening dialogue where you said, you know, small courts and circuit judges and so forth. And isn't it funny, at the founding of our country, that men in black robes stood up and finally said to their congregations, we must go out. We don't want to fight, but these people are raping and pillaging and plundering and doing horrible things to our land, and we must fight. And the British soldiers, the hierarchy, wrote letters back to the Queen and the King and so forth and said, had it not been for those pastors, we would have won the war. And then, you know, France came in and helped them. And then think about this, the listening audience, please, think about this. If you look back, even one of my favorite people, just like everything, there's no perfect people out there. In 1969, Ronald Reagan, who I love, Ronald Reagan, did a terrible thing. As the governor of California, he vetoed, failed to veto no-fault divorce bill. Well, if you look at the statistics, and this is not just James from Jacksonville, look at the statistics for divorce and annulments and look at what it did. Again, Who's the victor when you rip apart a cord of three strands in Ecclesiastes 4:12? The one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, but a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Why? Because God is at the center of that marriage. There's going to be times where you may feel a pillow in the middle of the night, and your wife's trying to snuff you out. She's so angry at you. But as a married couple that commit and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, there's nothing like it on earth. So my word to the listening audience today is decide now who you will serve. Realize that every knee will bow. And if you haven't decided, hey, I'm willing to stand up in public and in private, if it's uncomfortable or not, because I'm going to stand in front of the judgment seat. And when the Lord asks, why are you here? Why should you come in? Why should you come in? I've got your record. And we're going to have to give an answer and an account for all of it. Am I going to apologize to him? And he said, I'm sorry. I never knew you because you never stood up for me. You never spoke up for me. And eternity is a very long time. Here's the last thing, and I'll stop. $1 million, if it was seconds, I heard recently in the shop, I was listening to a program. It was fascinating. It said $1 million to get your wrap around what it is approximately, if it was seconds, is 11 days. $1 billion, if it was seconds, would be 30-some years. So how old are we? We're both under 100 years old. But how many seconds do we have? And we do, as the Lord says, we do not know the time. So when we're gone and we're in front of them, know that you know now, and decide who you serve and start serving them. And that means stand up and speak up and listen to great programs like this, but then act on them. Act on them.
Absolutely. James, if I could hold you for a little longer, here's an issue that I believe we need to confront. Back in 2018, we had a legislator that politically you would have called a liberal or a moderate legislator that had legislation passed in the state of Florida that requires, not optional, requires In God We Trust to be placed over the school door of every school in the state of Florida. That's never been implemented. My question is why? And secondly, in 2024, we had legislation passed. It was House Bill 931 and Senate Bill 931 called School Chaplains. Gave every school in the state of Florida the responsibility of appointing, having chaplains to come in, take applications, look at, vet them, do the background for pastors to sign up to be chaplains in the local schools. And under the Senate bill and the House Bill 931, gave the chaplains, i.e. pastors, the authority to pray, to teach the Bible, and to have work with the families of the students in the school that might seek spiritual help, and to pray before school board meetings. And yet we've not implemented that in the state of Florida. We've missed the opportunity to follow the letter of the law with the laws passed in the state of Florida, signed by the governor, and gone into operation, but not being done. This article reads, the bill requires any district school board or charter school governing board to adopt all volunteer school chaplains and the policy to publish the list of volunteer school chaplains, including any religious affiliation, on the school board's websites. And it is kindergarten through 12th grade, and the bill was the 931 of the House and the Senate. Passed, endorsed, signed by the governor, never implemented. My question is, why is it today in the state of Florida, you can drive across the state, go into every schoolhouse in the state of Florida, and you will not find In God We Trust over the school doors? Why? Secondly, we have a law that gives the opportunity, the authority, for a school board to have volunteer pastors to lead in prayer, to carry out the work of the ministry of praying with and working with kids in the school. And of course, it's a freebie job, volunteered by pastors. Why hasn't that been implemented by our school board here and the other school boards across the state of Florida? If we've got anybody listening that can give me an answer, I'd love to hear the answer and the rationale. And one of the primary things, James, I think, is that pastors are afraid of getting into the system and doing anything about praying and sharing. And I believe that would be the answer to the question. You don't have to say, you don't have to fight the battle. Of course, I'm willing to see our school board spend every dime of school tax money to fight the battle. And Liberty Council has already volunteered to do the battle for them, the school board, if they choose to ignore the demands of atheist organizations that say that you can't pray at a public school board meeting. What say you?
Well, two things. I say I'm not an ordained minister, but I was a faith leader and a community faith leader and a I guess you'd call it an organizational 501c3 faith leader unofficially. So I'm not qualified to be a chaplain and go into the school, although I'd love to do that and to try to give people the school body the gospel. And talk about the fruit of the Spirit and the full armor of God. Talk about the things that they're going to be up against in the world and who's their enemy. But then, secondly, the sign thing between our little ministry with wood and a laser, I bet you we could take care of a good portion of Duval County if there's a principal out there that says, hey, I want a sign that says, in God we trust, and let them pick their wood, cypress, cedar, something, you know, a biblical wood.
Yeah.
Genesis 6:14 said, make an ark of gopher wood. I mean, I did not know that. I did know that there was legislation that allowed for a chaplain to go, and I wish I could say I was surprised that no local chaplains or pastors stood up and said, hey, let me do that. I'm close to this school, and I want to come into that school once a week and talk to kids that want to learn about Jesus. And I want to ask, you know, unfiltered questions and hard questions, and they're with that daggum phone in their pocket that every time they turn it off, if it's you know what kind of phone, they turn it on, there's a piece of fruit with a bite out of it. And so if we don't think the devil's alive and well on earth, and these kids don't need, I mean, we obviously see that they're preyed upon. It's horrific. So I did not know that about the sign thing. That's phenomenal. And hopefully a lot of people with sign companies and with the wherewithal will help, and we can at least cover Duval County. And then try to spread that word, because, again, it's part of standing up. You're speaking up and then stand up and make a difference.
Absolutely. Let me read a couple of paragraphs of a headline. Nonprofit groups wade into Duval County School Board prayer controversy. That's one of the big questions facing the Duval County School Board. Two nonprofits, and it goes on to talk about the religion, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, who are atheists, and the letter sent to the Duval County School Board by those that are called concerned citizens that sent the letters to these people. But here's the point. In this article, the Orlando-based Liberty Council offering to help the school district should the case go to court, should it be challenged in court. In the statement from Liberty Council, it says, and I quote, often these litigious groups are unsuccessful in court, and they're wrong morally, and they're wrong ethically, and they're wrong legally, end quote. So I say to the school board, for all of those that's on the school board, for those that are leading out in this battle, Charlotte Joyce and others, stand strong. Don't back up. Continue to have prayer at the beginning of a school board meeting, asking God for wisdom and strength and direction to carry out the work that he's called them to. So, James, thank you, brother, for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. In just a moment, we're going to have to take our top-of-the-hour break. So if you're holding online, continue to hold. We'll be with you after the break. But let me simply go a little further. This article reads, it's by one of the school board members here at Duval County School System. I feel good about where we are today, he told the news partners at Action News. I feel good about what we're doing. If we want to pursue it further, that's certainly their opinion. My biggest concern is this becomes a distraction from education. So, ladies and gentlemen, the question is, should the school board stand strong? Should the school board, Charlotte Joyce and others on the school board, should they simply bow and bend out of fear of a litigious group that are atheist, anti-God, anti-America, anti-Constitution, anti-Bill of Rights? Should we bow to a group like that, or should we honor God and stand regardless of the outcome? I'm looking at mega articles, ladies and gentlemen. One of them says, U.S. Department of Education issues guidelines on prayer and religious expression in public schools. Looking at another headline, says a ban with no basis in law. Landmark ruling affirms a teacher's right to pray. So, ladies and gentlemen, we've got a lot before us. And right after the top of the hour news, we'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu. WTRJ-FM, Orange Park.